Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Saints of God, I just got to share this. When God does a miracle, you can't hold it back. Can I get an amen? How many love to hear miracles? My goodness. Well, Sunday, we had a wonderful sister come. She comes every now and then when she can. She had a tumor removed from her, and she's hasn't been working, but she's a flight attendant for many years, Armida. How do you pronounce her last name, huh? Pinafore, yes. And she wanted my attention after church. And so Araceli spoke to her and said, wait, Pastor Fee's almost done. Don't leave without you talking to him. So she hung around and she waited. And then I go, hey, Armida, how you doing? And I go, how's your procedure? Well, she goes, everything's fine. She goes, but I need you to pray for my dad. I go, what's wrong with your dad? He has stage 4 cancer, and he's very angry. He don't want nobody to pray for him. He basically doesn't want me or my sister to touch him. And he thinks that that Armida's pastor, who is me, oh, he probably drives a $100,000 car and wears Armani suits, you know, and, you know, all that. I go, well, you know. So that was his idea of Christianity. And he didn't want nothing to do with God. He was angry, angry man. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to pray, and you pray, and then let's get back together again on Monday. And then after I'm done doing what I have to do, I have a doctor's appointment, and then I got an errand to run. I go, I'll be available before 1. I go, where do you live? She goes, Scripps Ranch. And so I said, okay, text me your address. So I was done, and she goes, please come and pray for him. I go, does he know I'm coming? No. I go, do you think he'll receive me? I just asked her that. She goes, I don't know, but I'm desperate, Pastor Fee. I'm desperate. Her and her sister are desperate because they don't want to see him drop into hell because he hates everything. You know, he's just an angry guy. And so I show up. I knocked on the door. Oh, she saw me coming. And I go, where is he? He goes, he's in the living room. And so I started walking, and he intercepted me. He was on his little walker. And he goes by Terry. It's a long name. I can't pronounce it. But Terry comes out of that. And I said, hello, sir. How you doing? And I go, I'm Fee. He goes, are you the pastor? And I said, yeah, I am. How you doing? I go, hey, let's just sit down for a moment. So we're in the dining room. And I said, just sit down. I go, you know, I just want to get to know you, you know. And so I started sharing my life. You know, my dad, we had something in common. He's Filipino, right? I said, my dad's from Pangasinan, Alaminos. He go, oh, really? So all of a sudden we started conversing. And God was saying, this is how the walls are going to come down. Just be his friend right now. So we started conversing, you know, we had things in common. You know, his whole family grew up in National City. The daughters went to Sweetwater. He did really well in his business, and he moved to Scripps Ranch. And they live in a beautiful gated community. Houses there start at least 1.5 mil on up. You know, it's a very exclusive area. And so she had to give me a gate code to get in. So we're just talking, and I go, so are you retired Navy? Because my dad was retired Navy and post office. He goes, oh, no. My brothers were all retired for the Navy. He goes, I did construction all my life. I go, really? You know, I did construction, but type of construction. I worked at Western Lumber. He goes, what? He goes, I was always at Western Lumber buying lumber because I would build houses and do apartment complexes and all that. We had things in common. So I go, he goes, where did you work there? I go, in the truss yard. He goes, oh my gosh, I don't know how many trusses I bought from Western Lumber. So we were just talking. You know, we had things in common. And then I go, can I share a story with you? He goes, yeah. I go, a really good friend of mine that worked with me, he's, you know, his name is Jose Lopez. So I shared the testimony of Jose Lopez. You guys already heard that testimony where God healed him and then saved his wife. Okay, and I shared that with, you know, and after I shared that, he was going, oh my gosh. He goes, oh my God. I go, Terry, I go, do you mind if I pray for you? I go, I was asked by your daughter to come and pray for you, but I just didn't want to just come in and pray for you. I go, I wanted to get to know you, and I wanted you to know me, who I am. He goes, pray for me. So I put my hand on his shoulder. We were sitting across from each other on chairs, and I started praying, healing for him. And then when I was praying for him, I heard God speak to me. God said, I prepared his heart. Ask him now to open up his heart so I could come in. And so I was done praying for him. I said, Terry, I said, God just spoke to me. He wants to come in and he wants to sup with you. In other words, he wants to come in and save you. I go, do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now? And he goes, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And so, man, we said the sinner's prayer, and boom, the Lord came in, and Armida is right there. She's weeping. She couldn't believe what she's seen, because this is a man that was filthy mouth, an angry man, didn't want no prayer, didn't want nothing to do with the Bible. And she's like, her and her sister, Minnie, they couldn't believe what they saw. So I gave them a great big hug before I left. And they're coming Sunday. She said, I'm going to do my best to bring them so you could baptize them in the jacuzzi. Oh, and the guy, he's like in his 80s.
Is he in a walker?
Yeah, he could walk. He's, you know, he's stage 4. And this is what I told Armida when we were, I was leaving. I said, I looked at her. I go, we just saw a miracle. God just showed us a miracle. She couldn't stop crying. She goes, I've never in my whole life have heard the name Jesus coming out of his mouth like that. And look, I mean, God just was all over him. And I said, I told her, even if he doesn't get physically healed, he got spiritually healed for eternity. He going to be with Jesus forever. God saved him from hell. And she was going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And little did I know, she had prepared a big old lunch for me and Yolanda, a Chinese. It was all packed away. And she goes, this is for you and your wife. I go, oh my God, I wasn't expecting that. But pray for them that they would come Sunday.
Both and sisters and the
I'm praying that Armida and Minnie and then Terry the father.
Wow.
And on my text, this is what she texted me. I couldn't read the text when I was driving home. It says, Pastor Fee, thank you so much for coming over and praying for my dad. It was a miracle that he accepted Christ like that We thank you so much. I wanted to put my gift in a card, but I couldn't find my cards. My sister is very grateful to you, too. We are jumping for joy that God did a miracle today. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you. Also, I believe the doctor canceled my appointment at the very last minute to stay here longer with you and my dad. God made it all work out. Praise the Lord. And then she put prayer hands in her heart. And then she hit this last text. Oh, Pastor, I forgot to tell you that my dad liked you so, so much. He said he can tell that you're a very nice man. And I hit her back. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, I never met the man. So I don't know that experience that I have with him. All I knew is that he never showed that to me. I got to know him. Yes. That was it. God said, I was saying, God, give me wisdom. Don't let me just come over there and bull rush him with the gospel, you know, and beat him on the head. You need to repent. No. Repent or perish.
Not a way to angry man.
And look.
What a testimony.
Wow. It's like, I came home on a cloud.
Amen.
I came on a cloud, and I shared it with the women's group last night. With, I think with Dolly Vera, Yolanda, whoever else was here. But you know, God is good. How many, come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? We want to welcome Facebook and YouTube. Thank you for enduring the testimony. But when you have to share something like that, you have to just let it out. Amen?
Amen.
And so, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this Bible study tonight. I'm praying, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, I Will Call Them My People. I Will Call Them My People. So we are in Romans 9, verses 22 through 26. And we're going to see here where God used Paul the Apostle for a very specific purpose. He was supposed to have won all the Jews to Christ, but the Jews weren't ready just yet. So he turned to who? To us Gentiles. And so now, you and I, we are the people of God. By faith, amen? So let's break this down and see where God's going to take us here. Amen? So let's start with verse 22. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared before glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the what? Gentile. That's us. Look at verse 25. As he says also in Hosea, and here's where I got my topic, I will call them my people, who were not my people, and her beloved, who was not my beloved. And it shall come to pass, in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. So basically what Paul is writing here is, at one time, in our minds, in our heart, we were not a people of God, but yet God said, before time began, I've already called you to be my people. Wow. I mean, it's like reading a mystery and you don't know what happened until the end of the story, right? Then you go, oh my gosh, I didn't see that. Well, when you get saved, you didn't know that God has called us to eternity before he spoke the whole world into existence. And so this should bring great joy to us, because we're not Jewish, we're Gentiles, that God had love for us too, that He has purpose and a plan for you. I shared what happened yesterday, and many of you have had many similar experiences in your life, whether you led someone to Christ or someone led you. It works both ways. And so, but God's hand was in it. His purpose and plan was always in our life. And we're here tonight because of His what? His plan. Amen? So let's break this down. Let's look at verse 22 in Romans chapter 9. And it says, what if God, wanting to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? You see, saints, the objects of His judgment were basically non-believers, and especially in context with Jewish non-believers. Because there is a day of wrath coming for those who, at the very end, still do not receive Him. They don't want nothing to do with Him. This could have been that man yesterday. According to them, he didn't want nothing to do with God. But God had a different plan. God had the last say, didn't He? And we came praying. I came up there praying, oh God, give this man a ears to hear and eyes to see. And so, God has been patient with people's antagonism, with their rebellion, with their blasphemy mouth. You know, people can go bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ comes out. You ever hear people cuss and curse, and then Jesus comes out? It's like, and God has to endure that. He endures it. Can I get an amen? And so, He endures the blasphemy and hatred because He has given them time to repent. What? See, there's a time frame. There's a time when God says, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to come down now and rescue you. Come on. I got saved at 30, but prior to that, I was living like a rebel without a cause. Oh, come on. So were you. So were some of us, huh? Man, we were living a life full of sin. But God said, you know what? Enough is enough. If he or she keeps going this way, they will destroy themselves. I got to come and rescue them now. I got to pull the blinders off their eyes. I got to give them ears to hear. I got to get them to see who I am so that they could turn to me. And that's what God did. He allowed us to turn to Him. Man, only God can do that. Only God can. And look what I found in 2 Peter here. Because we're going to see in this verses of Scripture what the current world looks like right now. It looked like that in this time frame. But when I'm reading this to you, ask yourself, is this also happening now? Well, let's go here. 2 Peter 3, 1 through 9, look at this. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Okay, now look, here we go. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. He's talking about our day and time now. That scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? How many people are telling us right now, yeah, right, Jesus is coming. We've been hearing this forever. Even people in church. They've learned to love this world, and they're going, man, you know, who wants to go there? I'm enjoying this right here now. Look at this. Saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. Look at verse 6. By which the world that then existed perished. What? In other words, he's talking about before the flood, they were having their parties and heyday. They were having their sexual freedoms and all these things that we did today without the electronics. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have iPhones, but they still had a sinful mind like us. They had idols. And they did things wide open. Look at this. By which, verse 6, by which the world that existed perished, being flooded with water. I mean, God had to flood the earth because it was so sinful. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for what? Fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So now, the second time around, it's not going to be by water. It's going to be by fire. And in other words, I think I shared, I think on Sunday, when a nation is so entrenched in sin and there's no turning back, he's got to destroy it by fire now. He's got to burn it. And this is what we're seeing here. This is God's word now. This is backing what I said Sunday. Look at this. By the same word are reserved for the until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Look at this. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering. Patient. Patient toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God gave us time to repent. We could have been destroyed. We could have went straight into hell. Don't stop at go and pick up $200. We were headed on a one-way trip. And God said, I'm coming to intercept them. I'm going to save them. Because they're going to destroy themselves. How many are so blessed that God saved you? Amen. I'm so ever grateful and thankful. But those who refuse to repent, saints of God, are fit for destruction. Their doom is coming. And that's what Armida and her sister thought where their father was heading. It was not so much that he would be healed, is that he would give his heart to Christ and not drop into hell, because they know the word. They know the Bible. You see, Paul explains that they have rebelled and that they refuse to turn to God for salvation, and thus haven't taken responsibility for their own destruction. It takes so much to say no to God. When God has come to die for our sins and has thrown us a life, what do you call those life rings?
Lifesaver.
Yeah, a lifesaver. You've heard me share the story that let's just say if all of us in this room were on a fishing trip, okay? And no one told us that there was a storm coming. And we were out there deep sea fishing for bluefin. And then a storm came. Yes, and now you're rocking like this. And then now the boat tips over. And now we're in the water. And one by one, we're getting eaten by sharks. One by one. And then the last person is still alive. And the only reason why you're still alive is because the sharks are full right now. But they're just circling you. And then here comes a boat. Throws out a life ring. Are you gonna grab onto it and get pulled up? Or are you gonna say, no, I'm gonna be their next meal? No. Your instinct is to survive, right? Is to live and to grab onto that. Well, people don't understand Jesus is our lifeline. He's the ring. He's the one that has come to the world. And yet people reject him. They go, oh, I'm glad you found God. You needed God. Hey, you back there, you needed God. Yeah, so do you. We all need God, huh?
Amen.
We all needed him. Praise God. But in the first chapter of Romans, let's take a look at this for a moment. In Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In other words, the wrath has been revealed. Look at this. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Like today, remember I showed it to you. I think it was our second part two of Mystery Babylon. And I showed you guys all the parades of all the transgenders and homosexuals. That's them. They suppress the truth. They're in there like in your face. They're going like this to God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Many of them had a knowledge or a form of knowledge of God, and yet they turned. And they kicked God out of their mind and their heart and went after lasciviousness and ungodliness. Wow. How do you do that? Look at this. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Listen, there's not going to be excuse. They're going to stand before a holy God, and there's not going to be one thing they can do to defend themselves on why they did not accept Jesus. They're going to be there alone by themselves without any excuse. Wow. Look at this. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And when God calls someone a fool in the Bible, they're going to hell. He's already cut them loose. They're done. He won't deal with them no more. He's given them a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate is? A mind that will not turn back to God. Whoa. Man. And we don't know who they are. But this is why we need to pray for our loved ones, our friends, our family members that refuse God right now. We need to pray that they're not reprobates. What's a reprobate? That they won't turn to God, even in their last breath. Pray for them, right? That's what those two girls prayed for their dad, that God would do a miracle. And he did. My goodness. God showed them, I am still doing miracles today. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And so, saints, God has every right to exercise his judgment and his power. Without God's mercy and great patience shown to us completely apart from our own performance, we would have no hope at all. None. If God did not do this for his own purposes, we would be instantly destroyed. But God had mercy. Let's move on to verse 23 in Romans chapter 9. Here we go. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared before glory. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a vessel of mercy. We're vessels of mercy. Why? Because he had mercy on us. He didn't let us perish. He gave us eternal life. He saved us from our own self. We were headed to hell in a handbasket. He came to save us from ourselves. Wow. So in contrast, the objects of his mercy are those who believe. That's us. We believe. We're the believers, both Jews and Gentiles. To these, he will pour out the riches of his glory. Hallelujah. The riches of his glory. You know, this is what everyone has here. And you need to understand what God has given you. Not only did he give us his spirit, not only did he give us salvation, but he's given us his anointing. I need you to get this. And there's nothing we can boast about. This is what God has done in you and through you, in me and through me. When I walked into that man's house, because the anointing of God was upon me, guess what? The darkness in there had to flee. The darkness had to flee. And you know how you can show someone how the darkness flees? So that they could try to comprehend it? Go into a dark room, have them come in there with you, and then turn on the light. And then all of a sudden, it lights up, right? So ask them, where did the darkness go? Because it's instantly. You turn on the light, where did the darkness go? It fled. Because the light came. Well, guess what? The darkness will flee out of the room when you step into a room because you're filled with the anointing of God. And now God can use you. You have to have that confidence, though. You have to have that mind that, you know what? This is what God will do through me if I yield myself to him. But if you're a scaredy cat, you don't trust God, he'll never use you. Because you don't trust him. You got to allow him full access to you. And watch him do the miraculous in your life. Can I get an amen? And so this is God's sovereign choosing when he works with lumps of clay that he formed. Did you know that we're the clay and he's the potter? Can I get amen?
Amen.
And guess what? He should be allowed to mold us and shape us in any which way he wants to mold us. If he wants to squash my head in a little more, go ahead, Lord. Till I learn some stuff. Can I get an amen? The key point to remember is that all this has been in God's plan from the beginning. From the very beginning. Before the world even existed, he had a plan for you. Turn to one another and say, God has a plan for you. And then say this, before you knew his plan. He had a plan for you. Oh, that's right. That's right. And some people will say, well, you know what? You got to show me in the Word. You know how there's people that say, you got to show me. Or is that just you up there babbling? No. If I'm going to say something up here, I better have something to back it up, right? Well, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 1:7. Look at this. In him, capital H, in Christ, in him, we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. So he really purposed in himself to carry out his will through you and me. But look at this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in him. Look at verse 11. In him also we have an obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. In other words, he already predestined it. He already pronounced it in heaven before we were ever even existing. He already knew our name. Isn't that something? The Americas back there, sitting back there, before that precious baby came. Let's go back 2 years ago. Let's just go back 2 years ago. This child was not even a name in your mind, was it? But yet God knew this child already. He already knew us. We can't get past God. He knew us. Praise God. And so when God's dealings with his creation have been summed up, there will not be a shred of doubt about his wrath, about his power, and about his glory. God did not change his plans just because his people were disobedient. No, God's going to carry out his perfect will. Instead, God knew all that would happen to both Jews and Gentiles, and God does everything to display his great mercy. His great mercy. Do you know back then, and even today, us Gentiles, we make the Jews jealous? Oh, yeah. For Rabbi, he was always inquiring about us, didn't he? He was downloading all my messages over there. He used to go, "Hey, Reverend Free, I read the New Testament many times." And I used to say to myself, "This is a closet Christian." I think he's saved. He's just afraid to come out with it. You see, believers may wonder why they would be chosen while others were rejected. You ever thought that for a reason? Well, why me, Lord? Well, and why not them? Or at least not why them now or yet? You ever thought of that? Why me, Lord? Well, before we could get puffed up and say, "Yeah, you know, it was our good looks." Oh, it was our good nature. No, it was his mercy. It was his mercy. When he made a choice with us, he goes, "I'm just going to choose you because I decided to have mercy on you." Wow. Just knowing that, we ought to be very thankful all the way until we see him face to face. Amen. Paul's point is that God is sovereign and that no one has any claim on his mercy. He prepared us in advance by his gift of salvation, and he will reveal the glory when we are finally with him in eternity. This is why I can't wait for that new body. How many can't wait for that new body? Here's a very familiar scripture that many of us, I remember before I got saved, you know, we watched football, we watched the NFL, and when they would kick a field goal, I would always see John 3:16. I go, "What is that?" I had no clue it was a verse. I had no clue it was scripture. No, that's how ignorant I was. And that's how lost I was. John 3:16. What is this? Is this John from the Beatles? Is this a song? What is it? I don't know. Little did I know that it was this right up here. Look at this. Oh, let's go first to verse 24. "Even us whom he called, not the Jews only, but also of what? The Gentiles." And so, this is why I said, I got ahead of myself right now, but this is why I said, why us? Why me? Well, because he had already proclaimed this in eternity with his son that went to the cross. Did you know that the Bible says that God slew his son before it happened? He already knew it. He already saw it played out. Right up here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only what? Begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what?
Saved.
Now, people don't read the rest of this. Let's read the rest of this. Look at this in verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. This is why Jesus had to come, because our deeds were evil. You ever try to pray and these thoughts of ungodliness come out of nowhere? I mean, you could have your best day, and then all of a sudden, oh God, why did I even think that? And then some of us may slip out and say something we shouldn't have said, or entreat one another in a wrong way, because our deeds are evil. Until God changes our body, we're going to be like that. This is why we have to walk guarding our heart, that we would honor God. Look at this. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. So people that won't come to God, they love their sin. They love their evil. See, no one reads the rest of this in John. They just read, oh, for God so loved the world, you know, that he gave his only begotten son. Well, keep on reading why Jesus had to come. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Sometimes God has to expose someone. But he who does the truth, what? Comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So that's what happened. God touched your life and he allowed you to come to him. And we came to him. We came to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me, through Christ. And so instead of focusing on God, choosing some and rejecting others, we should stand in awe of God's offer of grace to any one of us. This is why those two sisters couldn't believe what they saw. That God had mercy on their father when all their life, all they saw was an angry man. They didn't want nothing to do with God. They're still right now doing backflips in their mind. I don't have that history with them. I just came to pray and do what God told me to do. But they had a history with him. And she was at her last hope for her papa. And he surrendered. Wow. I mean, I went to bed last night and I was like, that's all I was thinking about. God, you rescued this man from hell. He was headed there. And he didn't know any better. Wow. See, instead of focusing on God and choosing some and rejecting others, we should stand in awe of what God has done. Thus, no one can demand that God can explain why he does what he does. Because you know why? He makes all the rules. God makes all the rules. We just have to follow them the best way we know how. Are we going to live perfectly? No. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes. But you know what he says every day? This is what I love about Jesus. Every day we wake up, he says, just pick up your cross and keep following me. With all your baggage, with all your faults, with all your mistakes, with all your sinfulness, with all those thoughts that sometimes won't go away, just pick up your cross and keep following me. Woo! That's revelation to someone. Because there's nothing we can do to please him. He did all the work on the cross. Now we just had to pick up our cross and follow him. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what the Bible says. It's got to be you and him. It can't be him and us. No, it's you, me, and him. It's a one-on-one relationship with him. But he loves to show mercy to you and to me. How many believe he's an amazing God? He's an amazing God. Amen. So let's move on to the last two verses. Verse 25. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And so, saints, to back up the statement that God also calls the Gentiles, Paul quoted these verses from Hosea. Hosea was a minor prophet. I believe Pastor Art was in Hosea last Sunday, wasn't he? I think he mentioned Hosea. Yeah, that was a minor prophet. The minor prophets were packed with powerful punches. Not just the major prophets, but the minor prophets. We call them minor because they had little books and they're not much said, but they were insightful and powerful, and they impacted your life, and they had prophetic significance to what's being played out today now. Paul quoted two verses from the prophet Hosea several hundred years before Jesus' birth. Hosea told of God's intention to bring Gentiles into his family after the Jews would reject the plan. And that's what has happened. God was not surprised by Israel's rejection. Did that go, was God up there going, oh man, he rejected me? No. He goes, okay, I'm just going to set them aside. And now I'm going to come after us Gentiles. Praise God. Israel thought that they alone were God's chosen because of their lineage and their laws. But God's plan never was to save only the Jews. Aren't you so blessed? His plan was not only to save them. His call was for people from all nations, tongues, and tribes. Look, we're all diverse in here. Can I get an amen? Some of us are Filipino. Some of us are Mexican. Some of us are South America. Sister, where are you from? Are you a mutt?
Yeah.
You're a mutt. And so his call was from all nations. And if you look at Hosea 2:23, look what it says right up here. Hosea 2:23. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. So Paul took this out of Hosea. And now we too can say, Jesus is our God. Because at one time, we were not his people. Oh, come on. My first 30 years, there was no God in my life that I knew of. But yet God was there for me that I didn't know about. He made sure I didn't die. He made sure you didn't die. Can I get an amen? He watched over your life. Praise God. Praise God. And look, he also quoted from Hosea 1:10. Look at this. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to go to our last verse, and then we'll pray. In verse 26 in Romans chapter 9. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called sons of what? The living God. So Hosea's situation and his children's names pictured God's attitude toward Israel. They had turned away from him and were no longer called his people or his loved ones. And then God turned to us. And now we're here. And now guess what? He's turning back to them. Because many Jews are being saved right now. Many Jews are being saved. Those of you that love Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, he's a Messianic Jew now. How about Mark Biltz, who discovered the blood moons? He's another Messianic Jew. In other words, what's a Messianic Jew? It's a Jew that is born again, and Jesus is now as their Lord and Savior. Yeshua. Yes. And so Yeshua is our Jesus. We just say Jesus because it's in our English Bible, but in a Hebrew Bible, it would be Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach, our soon coming King. And so God would also turn to the Gentiles, those who are outside his chosen nation. And guess what? That was us. That was us. And we close with Isaiah. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Praise God. How many believe we serve a mighty God?
Amen.
Is he worthy to be praised?
Yes.
Is he worthy? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you while we were all yet sinners, you died for us. And we are living proof that you are still doing miracles. It was a miracle that we came to you. For we could look back in our lives when we didn't want nothing to do with you. Matter of fact, you were part of our cursing words. And yet, you had mercy. You still chose us before the foundation of the world. You had the last say in what was going to transpire from our life. And we are here now to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. I'm praying right now for maybe someone that's watching on YouTube and Facebook. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus. I'm praying that you will receive Christ just like Terry did in the testimony that I shared earlier on, if you're still with us. But if you just tuned in, I shared a testimony of an 80-year-old giving his heart to Christ, where at one time all he did was curse God. And now he's born again. He loves the Lord. What about you? What about you that's watching right now? Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this is your first, second, maybe third time logging in, and now God is touching your heart. Now he's saying, open up your heart. Let me come in and dine with you. Let me save you from your sin. Let me give you a heart to be saved, a mind to be saved, and a heart to repent. If that's you, all it takes is faith. the size of a mustard seed, and you'll be able to move that mountain that's right before you. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can have this great salvation that He has given us. For me, it's been 36 years walking with my beloved. For you, could be the first day today and forevermore. So if that's you, pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Worthy is the King.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.